Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braden. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you, man, we got a ton of cousins in here. Dan Gunner's been in here for an hour.
And he never logs off. Gunner never logs off. Not till LSU loses.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, I got a fancy graphic here for you, Shane, because we got a wild, wild weekend here in the SEC. We got conference games galore. We got a huge non-conference matchup. So, man, I'm fired up for some football. How about you?
Oh, my gosh. Compared to the first 2 weeks, don't get me wrong, I've absolutely loved every single minute of college football that we've received. But it does feel like we got some really damn good ball games coming into Saturday, doesn't it, Mike? Doesn't it feel like this is a day that we do not leave the couch? Which is like every day over here at the Shane residence.
Yeah, nothing much changing over there. But, Shane, also nothing changing with this show because we're brought to you by MyBookie, the online sports book. Go check them out. Help the show grow. Go over to MyBookie.ag. That's the website. Put in that promo code SEC for your first wager, Shane. Will be fully guaranteed whatever you want to put in that initial deposit, all the way up to $500 with that promo code SEC. Listen to me. I mean, you can't lose. I'm going to lose. I just fade all my picks. But if we guarantee you over there at MyBookie with that promo code SEC. So it's definitely worth checking out. And I could already tell the way Shane is in a positive, buzzed mood. That he's over here drinking some Tennessee Legend, you know what?
Hell yeah, man. I went with peach this weekend. I think I'm going to mix it up with a little blackberry to get me through some of this SEC football action. But be sure to stop over here, these boys and girls. I mean, they're awesome. It should be your first stop or last stop when you leave Sevier County. If you're in Nashville, tell them the cousins sent you. Not only are you going to get a huge discount, but you'll also get a free gift. And we all like free gifts, Mike. If you can't get it to your place or you can't get to Tennessee, just go over to your local package store. Tell them you want this on the shelves, and they'll get it sent to you immediately. We highlight a cousin every week. We've already done one, Tony, this week, so we're going to have another one next week. If you are in one of these locations, take a picture. If you get it sent to your store, take a picture, and we will include it on the show.
Heck yeah. And I think you also want to highlight another cousin too, right?
That's right, man. My cousin, my buddy. Oh my gosh, Mike. We get sent a lot of cool stuff, right? I've got sent sawdust. I've got sent bourbon. I've got sent golf balls. But man, this one right here, my gosh, Cousin Knox coming through, sent me a baby Stitch bag. Oh my gosh. This thing's so damn nice, I'm afraid to even take it outside. You know, it's like,
how much do you have to pay for that, Shane?
Oh, man, just I've got to be nice to them dogs this week. Knox is a huge Georgia fan. So, but, man, I tell you what, this was absolutely sweet. Really do appreciate Knox going out of the way to send this over. I have sent it to every group text, every family member. They all know I've got this bag. It's just like I said, I'm almost afraid to take it out of the house. It's so damn nice. For a guy that wears the same shirt every day, you know, it's like, this is like brand new stuff. I'll be giving my great-great-grandkids will be gifted this one day. It is not leaving this household.
They said, don't get it dirty, Shane.
Yeah, no. Well, I saw it had straps and shoulders. And I was like, damn, I could carry it. But just thinking about it, I started laughing in my head. I was like, nah, this thing's going on the cart.
Jesus, that'll hold a lot of balls there. Oh, buddy. Mm-mm-mm. Hey, we got a donation real quick, Shane. $5, Marshall Childs, Cousin Shane. Please start the Aggies off right by picking against them. Beat the hell out of Notre Dame.
Do you know who you're talking to? I'll tell you. Now, my lock didn't lose. Let's just say that. Last year, my lock would not only lose the spread, but they would just lose outright. So it's kind of nice that my teams aren't losing. Coach Kiffin came out after that Kentucky game and he said, sorry for all those bettors out there, you know, because that last field goal that Stoops did, that's why I hate Kentucky right now, is because they messed up the betting line. But the guy that should be, that you should be like fading is over here to my, I don't know what side you're on, my right. Viewers left. Mike is at, he is, I don't know, he's the curse this year. I was talking to cousin Derek earlier today and he said, hey man, isn't it nice having Mike as the bad luck guy? I was like, man, you can't, I love it. I absolutely love it. So the new Grim Reaper's Mike.
Hell yeah. And also Josh Weaver. Shane gave us $10. Shout out, cousin Josh. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz. Appreciate that.
And I really appreciate this. He spelled his name out for us.
Okie Dre, welcome
to the family.
All right, buddy. So, again, we got all this action to get into. Man, I don't know where to begin.
Where do we begin, Mike?
Well, I think I know.
I think we know.
Come on, Shane. I've updated even these little preview graphics I got here. We got number 6, Georgia, on the road at number 15, Tennessee, Shane. College game day in tow. And, buddy, this should be a damn battle. Here's a little look at the Winsopedia over here. Georgia's won 8 in a row going back to 2017, but this could be the year, Shane. This feels like the year.
Yeah. Of course,
it always feels like the year, doesn't it? Till it quite does it. You know what?
It always feels like we're back till we're not. I don't know, man. This one feels different. And I know old Kirby's down there singing his sad songs at the pressers. I mean, it's boring. I don't even know if you included any of those clips. It was just poor old Georgia, you know. We barely got past Austin Peay. We got so many mistakes we got to clean up. Tennessee's unstoppable, you know. It just feels like the wrong team's favored coming into this match. But there's a reason the Georgia Bulldogs have got the favor, because they own us. They have absolutely owned us for how many years, you say? 8? Feels like
8 years in a row.
Yeah, feels like 50, you know. I can't even remember the last time. But I'd be lying. I'd be absolutely lying if I didn't say this year felt a little different, Mike.
Is it because of Mr. Joey Schwagular over here firing that damn pigskin?
Yeah, I mean, when you're struggling against Austin Peay and we're, like, averaging 60 points a game, I mean, it's like video game numbers. But I'm not getting the cart in front of the horse, but maybe I'm just giving Kirby some material to work on this weekend, but I'm feeling pretty damn good about them balls right now, Mike.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just so hard to gauge 2 weeks into the season. Competition, you know, has been certainly lacking. I think all around for both teams, you know, the most impressive win, Tennessee beating Syracuse on a neutral field. But again, we don't even know how good Syracuse is at this point in time. But, you know, anything to the talking point, Shana, this is something that I've been talking with, you know, all the other people that we've had on this week. But Georgia always plays Tennessee later in the year.
Yeah.
And Georgia always has an offensive identity particular. By then, they have it figured out. I think right now, even Kirby Smart would tell you, I don't think Georgia has an offensive identity right now. Is that something perhaps that could, again, Georgia's beaten them 8 in a row. But every one of those has been later in the year. So is there anything to maybe Georgia not yet figured it out on the offensive side of the football going into this huge conference game?
Yeah, I feel like there's a couple storylines that are going to be coming into this game. There's Tennessee dealing with some injuries, mainly to that secondary. Cornerbacks really, really bad shape right now. I feel like this is a game that, you know, Gunner hasn't, I mean, it felt like he dominated week one, but I really feel like this is the time that he needs to step up and show him that he's more than just a runner. He's the total package. Getting some of these playmakers around him going, you know, they're just not quite been in sync. But you're right, starting early in the season, this is a huge game, a pivotal game for the Southeastern Conference. I mean, this may have implications for the end of the season. So, yeah, I feel like this is more about Gunner has to step up and maybe some of that inexperienced defense for Tennessee needs to step up as well. So it's just which one gets it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, how about this narrative, Shane? Joey Swagular. Oh, God, he's the toast of town.
Yeah,
he is. I heard they're selling his jersey now and all over campus. Looks like not only did Tennessee win the Nico trade, they robbed UCLA, right?
Yeah.
He's never played a defense like this. Never, probably in his life. You know, I know there was the game he played against Clemson, I think it was last year, and man, they decimated him. And everybody knows we don't respect Clemson around here.
Right.
We sure as hell respect Georgia and that defense. You know, what's your thoughts on the narrative that, you know, they'll get it figured out here? And you know, I think everybody's looking at the wrong side of the ball, Shane, when it comes to Georgia. They're like, they're just playing it vanilla on offense with Gunner and then rebuilt offensive line and a rebuilt receivers. I think they've been playing it vanilla on defense. With Marshall and Austin Peay, Kirby and company haven't had to show anything, and I think they want to keep that defense close to the vest for being on the road because I think they know they can limit Aguilar to a mistake and they may have to win this game. So would you buy that from the dog side that, hey, Joey may have looked good, but he's not ready for this defense?
Well, this is the best defense he's faced. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm not comparing. That's the thing, Mike. I'm not comparing Syracuse. I'm not comparing ETSU to Georgia. It's night and day difference.
They're
similar.
No.
No. I mean, if you listen to Kirby in his boring rant today, you know, basically he tells you what you need to do. You need to limit the runs and stop giving the freebies. I feel like that's where Tennessee thrives. I mean, moving the chains by those little dink and dunks sometimes they get, if you erase those, eliminate those, and you stop the run, which the first two teams have been very unsuccessful with, then you force Joey Aguilar to prove that he's an elite quarterback. Now, again, Joey's done nothing wrong up to this point. Just I don't feel like he's had the world of the game on his shoulders yet. And I feel like they're going to make him. Kirby is going to make this kid win this football game.
Mm-hmm. And then I did some digging here, Shane. Josh Heupel versus Kirby Smart. Again, Kirby's owned him. Kirby owns basically everybody, not named Alabama in college football. But the first year they met, 21. Mm-hmm. All right. Georgia rushed for 274 yards, destroyed Tennessee. Tennessee rushed for 55.
Yeah.
Anytime it's a 274-55 rushing advantage, you're going to win. You're going to win comfortably, right?
Right, right.
Next year, 22, the huge showdown, number one versus number one, AP and playoff, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Georgia outrushed Tennessee 130-94. So, again, not a huge separation, but pretty decisive. How about 23, Georgia led again 156-130. So, again, led, but Tennessee cracked 100 on Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then last year, Tennessee actually led it, Shane, 146-106 to Georgia. That was a game where Tennessee couldn't get any pressure on Carson Beck, and he was going over the top on him. But I say all that to say, Shane, that, you know, I think the narrative that, you know, Kirby's got old Heupel figured out and they can't do shit on him, I don't really think that holds water either, because every year Josh Heupel everybody always says it. I think it's played out by now, but it's the truth. Josh Heupel is a run first offense, and then they hit you over the top. So he has manufactured ways to run on Georgia, and that I think is going to be critical. I realize Tennessee won the rushing battle last year and still lost. Well, they don't have Carson Beck this year. So I'll just put it plainly. I think if Tennessee wins the rushing battle on Saturday, mm-hmm, they're going to win this game. What's your thoughts on that?
So you're saying it comes down to simply who has the most rushing yards?
Yeah, because that's what I think Georgia wants to do too.
Yeah.
And certainly I think that's what Tennessee wants to do. Tennessee is not going to be pass happy and beat Georgia. I really don't. I think they've got to establish that run. Now they'll have to hit them over the top probably four or five times. But
yeah,
I think the winner of the rushing battle wins this game, because if Georgia can't rush, now they'll rush, but if, you know, let's say 80 yards or something.
Yeah.
I don't have confidence yet in Gunnar Stockton to win in Neyland Stadium. He's shown me nothing this year. Not that he can't do it, but he's shown me nothing that he can, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Let me spin it to you this way, Mike. Let's just say Tennessee wins this game. What's the reason, or who's getting the blame for the Georgia Bulldogs? Is it Mike Bobo? Are we firing a coordinator? I mean, I feel like he's kind of on a little baby hot seat as it is, you know?
Right.
Not that he is, but I'm just saying.
I mean, they're not going to be firing Bobo anytime soon, I don't think. But, yeah, I the rushing, obviously turnovers is always huge. But I think it's Neyland Stadium, the fan edge. Rattling Gunner, first time. He's a veteran in a sense. He's been there for quite a while. I know he's played in a playoff game, but that was a bigger stage, of course, but not a more hostile environment, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So if Tennessee wins, I think there's going to be blame on Gunner. And hell, that's Georgia lost two games last year. Where'd they lose them, Shane? Mm-hmm. Away from Athens.
Yeah.
Well, and then obviously the playoff game too. But I think that will be critical for this matchup. If I'm wrong?
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I feel like the offense will get the blame if Georgia loses. If Tennessee loses, I feel like it will come down to too many big plays. Because there are some dudes. There's some absolute studs that, I mean, we got to see a little bit of Branch. We've got to see it. But there's... this Georgia team has ton of talent that just hasn't popped yet, in my opinion. And I feel like if Tennessee loses, it's going to be because there's going to be some breakage on that side of the football, that there's going to be some slips.
Well, there's no slip, Shane. Steven up. I missed who he donated to.
I did too. Sorry, Steven. I tried to go back.
For them boys in Tuscaloosa, it's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Let us know in the chat if anybody saw it.
But, which lucky bastard was blessed with Stephen Up's gift?
And David Short, appreciate you. Cousin David gave us $10. Mike and Shane, this is the year.
Go Vols. Did you feel it? I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to tell you who I'm picking Saturday. Not going to do it.
Yep. All right. And then Mr. Sip, do you think Georgia was sandbagging? I mean, I feel like I kind of answered that. But, yeah, I think on defense they were.
Yeah.
On offense? I don't think they were, Shane. I don't think they were. I'll just say that. So, now, again, there are other – now, you know, we haven't even mentioned, Shane, injuries.
Yeah.
I think injuries, at least the players banged up and questionable for Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
I think that significantly favors Georgia in this matchup.
Yeah.
With both your starting corners down, right tackle Sanders, is he available? He hasn't even played yet. You're going to throw him in there against Georgia? That's questionable. Tennessee's banged up on the defensive line, on the interior especially. These things favor Georgia. So it's not all Tennessee here, even though I hope Big Vol just became a member. I take it all back. It all favors Tennessee. You know?
Yeah. I don't know what you're trying to pump here, Mike. Yeah, I feel like this is going to be an epic, epic game. And there's been a lot of Georgia-Tennessee games that just haven't been fun to watch in those last 8 years. This one, it feels eerily similar to that 22 where we thought we had a shot, but then they start pumping noise down there in Athens. But they're coming to our place now, so they've never played at a loud stadium before.
No, they haven't. But you know who has, Shane?
Who's that?
Big Vol. Big Vol 26.
Welcome to the family.
And I appreciate as well, Shane, Cousin Josh Weaver gave us $5. Let's do this, boys. Tell everyone why the Hogs win this weekend. If I'm wrong, I'll donate another 20. So let's talk that game next, Shane. And how about this? How about this, Shane? When I did these footballs, I was pretty surprised by how the footballs look at here, or a little preview here. But, man, Arkansas's got the edge on a lot of these. Now, hell, again, it's been two games. It's, you know, competition is another thing, but been wildly, wildly impressed, Shane, with Arkansas, particularly Taylen Green. He is exactly who We said he was. Bobby Petrino slicing and dicing. Meanwhile, Austin Simmons. Now, at least he gets to go home, so could be a different story here. But I've got to losing a little bit of confidence in him. These games are generally pretty back and forth and wild. I know Ole Miss destroyed Arkansas, but I believe the one prior, Arkansas destroyed Ole Miss. So,
yeah.
Again, this was a fun series, one of the most underrated series in the Southeastern Conference. But So Ole Miss has won two in a row, but Arkansas, the two they won previously, they won them pretty decisively. So,
yeah.
What's your thoughts on this matchup? We're going to learn for real who Arkansas is this Saturday, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, eerily similar to the game we just talked about, Mike. I feel like Talen Green's playing out of his damn mind right now. I feel like Arkansas's just playing fantastic. As far as Ole Miss, you know, I told you, man, it just feels like something's missing, something's off. I don't feel like Simmons is quiet. Taking that step forward, you know, that we want to see, and maybe putting too much on himself. And of course, Coach has had the luxury here, I felt like, the first couple of weeks to do that. But, you know, that Kentucky game, they about lost it, brother. They about lost that damn football game. And one thing that they started losing for me is confidence going into this Arkansas game that they're just going to steamroll them. Because you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, this was not even a competition. This was a win. This wasn't a loss. This wasn't a toss. This was a win for Ole Miss. It's become a toss. This is an absolute coin toss this week. And I think this quietly could be one of the best games on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, shout out Stephen Up. Shaney, let us know. It was Dr. Yeet. Dr. Yeet.
Welcome to the family. Jeez, doctor can't afford $4.99. Jeez Louise. What's this economy come to, Mike?
What's it going to take for old Talen Green, Shane, to win this football game for Arkansas? Because I think he's going to have to, because, you know, we could be as fired up as we want after a 2-0 start. And things are looking up. I mean, hell, these great fans were down in the dumps, but only about seemingly a month ago.
Yeah.
Now they're all bought back in because they got one of the best offenses in the damn country. But I'm still holding my breath when it comes to the defense.
Yeah.
I really like Travis Williams, the defensive coordinator, but this is a game about talent. Mm-hmm. And I think Ole Miss has a talent advantage. It's not overwhelming, but they do have a talent advantage in this matchup. And we have seen Travis Williams scheme up. Hell, he schemed up. He out-schemed Josh Heupel last year. So he's certainly capable of coming up with a game plan. And Kiffin and Heupel run a similar style. So, you know, it's possible, certainly. But I think point that I'm trying to make here, Shane, I think Arkansas is going to have to score 35 or more, I think, to win this football game. Do you think that's fair?
You feel like Arkansas is going to have to score 34 or more?
35 or more.
35 or more?
I mean, I'm just saying, if it's in the 20s,
yeah,
I don't think Arkansas is winning this game.
Yeah. No, I don't feel like it's going to be a shootout like it's been in the past. I think this game's going to be a little bit slower. I think Ole Miss is kind of doing that. They're kind of getting a little bit to the relying on their defense, trying to keep the chains moving. You know, and with Talen Green, as electric as he is right now, you want to keep him off the football field. So I would say, yes, if it's under 35 points, I'd favor Ole Miss. If it's over, I think Arkansas has a shot. That's going to be a great game, man. I told you, man, Arkansas has been sitting there. They played their cupcakes the first 2 weeks. Nobody's talking about them. They're just sitting over there in the bushes lurking with their 7-foot quarterback. And they're about to jump on us and remind the country that, hey, shit, Arkansas ain't as bad as you thought they were. And then all of a sudden, it's like this huge upset. I don't think it's a huge upset. I think these teams are closer than the AP voters are saying right now.
What does this do for Sam Pittman and his reputation? If they're able to go down here and beat Ole Miss, and obviously they got a hellacious slate to come, but I think he's slowly starts to turn around the narrative a little bit here if they can go into Oxford and get a win.
Yeah, I You know, I don't know what narrative. I mean, Sam is what he is. It's like we can't even talk about being on the hot seat anymore. It's just, it is what it is. They're going to keep him there if he starts winning, though. And these are games that there were several games last year that he should have won. It's those close games. And I feel like this one right here, Mike, could be one of those close games. And if somehow Sam comes out on top of that, then yeah, I think it bodes well with his future, because now you're looking at that schedule that's in front of him. And I personally don't think Notre Dame's a good football team. I think they get exposed this week. Memphis is going to get waxed. There's a real shot through that bye week that Arkansas is sitting there at 5-0, and then all of a sudden the narratives are quickly shifting on Sam's job performance. So, I feel like they're in a good spot here, but all that goes right out the window if Lane Kiffin waxes you.
Right. And, you know, that is something, too, that should be said, that, hey, all offseason, this is kind of what I expected. I didn't expect the Georgia State winning by 50-some points, but, you know, I thought this would be a work in progress for Lane.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair after 2 weeks to say, okay, check, nailed that one. I mean, I think it's a work in progress. It didn't look very impressive against Kentucky, but at the end of the day, who the hell cares? You won the football game, and you never apologize for losing on the road in this conference.
Well, I'll tell you, on the other end, though, if Ole Miss beats the shit out of Arkansas, I think that also changes the narrative, because right now Ole Miss is not being talked about as a playoff contender. They're just not. The performance last week was terrible. They did walk away with the win, but it is a team for some reason that gives Lane Kiffin a fit. And I feel like if they take a big step, which, again, this is a team unlike Arkansas that's been tested. They go on the road, they get the first SEC win of the season. You know, you build off that, get some more confidence with Austin Simmons, get this defense even more dialed in, because at times they felt like they were – I thought I was watching last year's Ole Miss. So they do that, then all of a sudden I believe there's a shift down in Oxford, and we're saying, well, we should have been talking more about them Rebels. I don't know why we've waited this long.
Hey, shout out Ole Miss. Look at this comment, Shane. I'd ask Shane for advice, but Tennessee can't beat Arkansas.
Damn. Too soon. Too damn soon.
Hey, you just said, what if Ole Miss whoops their ass?
Yeah.
What if Arkansas whoops their ass? Then I think we kind of already know this, but we'd learn that, God, Kentucky must be really bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm doing this entire time, right? Like week two, we were watching and say, well, look what Syracuse is doing right now. You know, that's look at Clemson getting their ass kicked by Troy. You know, it's just we're constantly comparing other teams. But I feel like that game won't be won't look as good if Ole Miss gets beat, for sure.
You know who is looking good, Shane?
Josh Roberts.
Josh, welcome to the family. Appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah, cuz.
All right, Shane. So, man, I mean,
a lot of people ask real quick, Mike, on that. How do you do that? If you go, if you minimize this and go to notes, there's a button. You just click more. You click more again. And then there you'll see a little thing that you can click, a link, and you go in there, and then you can become a cousin. So it's not that complicated, but it is a little confusing, and I appreciate the cousins taking the time to do that. Like Austin Wayne.
You know,
Austin figured it out.
You know what's bad? When Shane is giving people advice on technology.
Yeah, right. Then you want to move it to the C drive, and no. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Shout out Austin Wayne, Shane. He gifted H. Well, that's an easy one. H,
welcome to the family.
Appreciate you, Austin. He's feeling good, Shane. We talked nice about Tennessee. You know what?
Yeah, big Austin. I like that. Come on, cuz.
All right. Hey, well, speaking of good, I don't know how good this one will be. Hell, let's just do it. Because I was excited about this game, Shane. Now I am currently not as much. We got Florida on the road at LSU, Shane. LSU's number 3 Florida was ranked. I don't know what happened there. Over under 48.5. LSU favored by 8.5. But I got a I got a sneaky, sneaky suspicion that, hell, what have I been saying? I mean, I do 6 podcasts a day, so I don't know if anybody's missed this or not. But I think it's going to be a football season, Shane.
Yeah.
Where it's just week to week. I don't know, you know, if that's for every single team, but damn near it seems like it. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I think we're going to look like $1 million 1 week. I think we could look bad the next. I think we could go back to looking like $1 million. And I think that's the same case for LSU. Yeah. I rewatched that Louisiana Tech game today. Good God, they look terrible. The defense, the defense looked fantastic. But Louisiana Tech is dog shit. Brian Kelly out here saying that was a great performance and we look good. He's lying his ass off because not even Garrett Nussmeier was looking too good. The receivers were dropping passes. They had 2 big runs. Other than that, they had 30 runs of 32 yards. This is freaking LSU on Louisiana Tech. So I don't know, Shane. If LSU comes in here thinking that Florida is just going to Billy Napier at it. I don't know. I think this could be a really good game, and maybe I'm just trying to talk myself into it once again, but I don't know. I think the Gators bounce back this week. I just wish some of their fans, I think most of them, except for Liquid, have already tuned out the next year. You know what?
Mike, I tell you, you know, not to preview SEC hangover tomorrow, but we're going to talk upsets and which one I've got my eyes on. And this seems like a game that, the closer it gets, the weirder it feels, you know? That probably came out wrong. But you know what I'm saying? I just feel like I don't really know. Like, yes, if you ask me, gun to my head, I got to pick a team. Of course I'm going LSU. At home, Death Valley, Florida Gators, they were imploding last week. They can't get past South Florida. They're spitting on each other. I mean, you know, it's just heads are falling off. It's like everything bad that can happen is happening down there. But there's something weird about this game, Mike. There's just something that just that hangs over this one because we've seen some really bad LSU teams. We've seen some really bad Florida teams that come into this game. And next thing you know, it's fourth quarter and it's a one possession drive. So I'm not ruling out anything in this one. I felt like if anything, you talked about comparing. I lost a little bit of that love for LSU because of what I saw Clemson throw out the following week and then what I saw LSU drop last week. It's just you put that together and then yeah, Florida got a loss, but if LSU were playing South Florida the way that they were playing Louisiana, I feel like LSU may have had a loss. So I don't know, man. There is some weirdness to this game, and I feel like anything can happen in this showdown.
Right, and again, me specifically, you know, I've made so many Napier jokes.
Yes.
For all we know, South Florida's like a top 20 team.
Yeah.
Now, again, there's no excuse for losing to them at home. Never should have happened. But, hell, I mean, they might go 11-1. They're playing Miami, I think, this week or next or something like that. So what if they beat Miami's ass? You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, we're like, well, hell, maybe that's just one hell of a squad over here with old Golish. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
But then it's like if LSU, like, derails Florida, you're just gonna be like, I saw it coming the whole time. I don't know why I was afraid to say that. You know,
but yeah, that is a huge mismatch. I think Florida's offense, the way they're playing,
yeah,
and LSU's defense. Let me ask it this way then: so how many points do you think will it take for Florida to pull off the upset, and can they even get there?
See, that's the bad thing, man. It's like, I feel like it needs to be a low-scoring game for Florida to win. I think once the score, either team gets over 24, I'm giving LSU the win. Because this is classic Billy Ball where we're going to play tight. We're going to keep it close. We're not going to – you know, I'm not expecting DJ. I mean, I don't know if you've got any Billy's comments here. It was very depressing. And he's still calling the plays and yada, yada, yada. But it was constant questions about DJ's maybe it just not as his progress, you know. And of course, this is what happens when you don't practice all off season. And of course, it's not his fault; he's injured. So, right. I feel like, man, this kid got thrown in the fire, but he's got to grow real quick. He's got to build that chemistry real quick with some of these young receivers, or they're gonna damn drown out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I'm still waiting to see their five-star freshman, Dallas yeah. Wilson. He's not suited up. You know, could he be a, remember, this is the guy, Shane, he had like, I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but it was like 10 catches for 200 yards and five touchdowns in the spring game.
Yeah.
I believe he was number one or number two receiver in the country. You know, what do they look like if they can add him? They're supposed to get back one of their best defensive linemen, Banks. He's been banged up. Florida's supposed to get him back. So, and again, Florida's defense, they've done their part.
Yeah.
LSU's offense, I would say for the most part, have not done their part. They got screwed that touchdown up versus Clemson, though. So that's fair as well to note. But yeah, I don't know. This is just a weird game, Shane. And I just got. I got some of that Napier magic. I think he's got a little left in him. Now, here's exactly how it'll probably play out. Florida goes into the fourth quarter with like a 10-point lead.
Yeah.
And then LSU wins by 3 points. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. he finds a way to blow it. You know what?
I feel like whoever gets the ball first has a scripted drive, and it looks great, and they get the first score, and we think they're going to win the ball game, but whoever didn't get the ball – They'll eventually crawl back and win by three. You know?
Just like our friend Shane B. Creepy.
Hell,
he's just gifted
yeah.
five memberships.
Damn, come on, cuz.
Shane Charles Alvarez, Bayou Bandit, Tim Murray, Senior Joshua, and J.D. BMD.
Welcome to the family. Courtesy of B. Creepy.
And the legend, Shane, is back. He's done it again.
You get the lower legend, and lower.
Cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out JR, Shane. He has gifted to Chance Donahue. Chance,
thank you, cuz.
Welcome to the family. Courtesy of JR. JR's fired up, too. You know what?
JP's voice has changed how you do these cusses now.
I'm trying to do my JP.
Oh, cousin, you think JR's going to be mad when I root against him this week? Think so?
He's probably going to stop gifting.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do that live. I think I should do live for the Georgia-Tennessee game so you can see what real emotions look like.
Yeah, but here's the problem. If Tennessee's getting their ass whooped, I could see you just... close, shutting the thing down.
See you guys. See you guys. A long walk at Lowe's, you know?
Well, you know who else could be having a long walk at Lowe's, Shane?
Who's that, man?
Maybe these Gamecocks, buddy. Ooh. How about it? Vanderbilt on the road at South Carolina, number 11, South Carolina. But look at all those footballs, Shane. This is the one that blew my mind the most. Again, Vanderbilt, they've not played – well, hell, they've each played Virginia Tech. So we can't sit here and say, well, one team's played garbage, the other team, because they've essentially played the same schedule. And Vanderbilt is a team, Shane, that is playing a hell of a lot better football at this point in time. Of course, South Carolina's beaten them 16 in a row. So just a hair under two decades, Shane. South Carolina has beaten Vanderbilt every year. Vanderbilt has never looked better under Clark Lee, in my opinion, than they look right now. They got playmakers all over the field.
Yeah.
Diego Pavia looks locked in. He said in the offseason, this is the game. I don't know what it is about South Carolina he hates. I thought he hated Tennessee and Bama and all these folks, but he said it himself. Yep. South Carolina is the one I want. Maybe he just wants to break that streak. I don't know. Night game, will he be? It ain't going to be easy to go in there. But the way Carolina's been playing on offense, you know, there is real concerns now, I think, about Mike Shula and his inability to generate more than 17 offensive points. This is an interesting matchup, Shane, where we want to talk narratives. Mm-hmm. I think the narrative, I mean, hell, you still probably think Vanderbilt sucks. And then, meanwhile, I think they completely open the world's eyes if they win this game.
Yeah.
In South Carolina, you know, it sounds like it's playoff or bust down there. It's damn bust by week three. I'm not saying they can't bounce back, but hard to see them managing this schedule if they can't beat Vanderbilt at home at night. So there's a lot on the line, I think, in this game.
Well, I know you're doing them QB ranks, right? And I feel like through 2 weeks, there's been a handful of these guys that have been efficient both weeks, right? And I feel like Pavi is at the top of that list. This is a guy that not only didn't miss a beat, but looks a million times better than he did last year, which is scary. You just don't watch Charleston. You didn't watch Virginia Tech. This is a kid that does it all. I mean, even Coach Beamer's talking about it today. You know, he not only can throw now, but he can block, he can run, he can do everything, and he's just a gamer. He wants to win, and I feel like for some weird reason, when you got a guy like Pavia marking you, I mean, because he went on that show and he said, they asked him, which game are you looking for? What's the team looking for? For some reason, out of all the teams, he picked this one. This is a big one for him. And if that guy, playing as hot as he is right now, has circled South Carolina, dangerous. Dangerous football squad. And the way South Carolina played last week, and I know it's the weather, and I know there's some injuries, and I know I've heard all the excuses, right? But the way that you played last week, watching a team like Vanderbilt, the way they finished week two, you know, they may have the wrong team favored in this thing, Mike.
Well, this is another one. I should have mentioned this for Tennessee. Georgia was roughly a touchdown favorite. It's dropped. Same exact thing here. South Carolina was a larger favorite, and the points, the money's coming in Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So do with that what you will. Shout out JP. I actually he sent me some notes I got to read here via email. But he says, hey, Shane, how you feeling? I don't know if you remember. You did an over-under walking bet with Vanderbilt 4.5 games. Still feel good about that one, huh?
No, not so good. What was this stupid bet I did again?
You said they'd be under 4.5 because that was their over-under. Hell, they're already at 2. If they get this one, they'll get the over by September 27th, I would think.
I'm not feeling as good about that anymore. I'm not. I can be honest with you. When they were down 10 against Virginia Tech, I think it was, I was like, yeah, there's the Vanderbilt. That's the Vanderbilt I know. And then all of a sudden they started popping them off left and right. And I was like, damn, this team looks good. And they do they play keep away. Nobody plays keep away better than Vanderbilt. And I know. And it's funny because there's a lot of SEC teams that don't know this, that don't know because you didn't play them. So if you don't have Vanderbilt on your schedule, you have no idea what you're in for. South Carolina does. They got a dose of it last year. But I do think that they've improved that. And this is a football team that will suck the life out of a stadium real quick with three long drives and 2-3 and outs. You know, that's their bread and butter, and nobody's doing it better than they are right now. So super scary football team. But, you know, how does South Carolina – I'm not going to act like South Carolina doesn't have a quarterback. Hell, I feel like they got the best quarterback in the country. This is the time for him to do that. I mean, how can we sit here – and say Lenore Sellers should be a Heisman. Lenore Sellers can be a Heisman. He ain't a Heisman yet. I feel like he needs to kind of get that going. And, you know, so maybe he needs to be tested. Maybe he needs to be pushed around a little bit. Maybe we need to talk about the other quarterback a little more than him for him to take that big step forward, because Lenore Sellers can do it. He just needs to go get it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of, a theme on this one. How many points do you think is going to take for South Carolina to win, considering they can't, again, 3 games with Shula as the coordinator.
Yeah.
They've scored 17 offensive points in all of them. Quarterback, offense, the whole operation's a little sloppy. Again, maybe that was weather.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just, you know, a big opener, Virginia Tech, Mercedes-Benz, you come home, you get the delay, it's the lightning and all this. So I don't know. I don't know where the truth is, but you just said it yourself. Vanderbilt loves to eat the clock, limit your possessions. This will likely be the least amount of possessions South Carolina gets all probably season. the way Vanderbilt eats up the and chews up the clock. If you if your offense is not rolling already, you know, how many points is realistic for you to score in a game like this? And you know, does that favor Vanderbilt? Does it favor South Carolina? I don't know where you at with that.
I'd probably skew it a little different. I feel like the number needs to be 11. And what I mean by that is I feel like if South Carolina has 11 or more points, I feel really good about them winning the football game. But if they let Vanderbilt stick in that 10 or less, that's danger zone, because they have shown time in, time out that if it's a close ball game and they have one opportunity with Pavi at quarterback, they will find a way to put points on the board. So to answer your question, Mike, I don't know what the total number would be, but I feel like this needs to be a game of get away from danger. And that danger for me is that 10-point block, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So kind of, jump on them, get the home crowd going and everything.
Yeah, similar to like Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. Hell, Ole Miss and South Carolina, same prime example. It's like once you could jump on them and you get ahead of them, I don't feel like Vanderbilt can play their game. And so that's the key. But the problem is South Carolina has been so slow and sluggish. I think you said yesterday they have 17 offensive points in the last three games.
Right.
You know, that's disheartening, because, you know, how can you jump on a team if you've not jumped on teams?
Well, maybe the punt returner could score every damn time he touches the ball like he did against South Carolina State. You know,
that would be it.
My word of advice to Vanderbilt: do not punt the ball to Swain. Punt it out of bounds. Who cares if it costs you some yardage? You know,
just go for it. Vanderbilt's going to go for it on fourth down anyway.
Hey, shout out, man. Long comment here. Gamecock, Vinny. So we're just going to act like this isn't the best Vandy team that we've seen in, I don't know, ever. Even then, when we beat them, I want just as big of an overreaction. Spurs up, baby!
Oh, yeah. Vinny says, yeah, you haven't talked about Vandy in 8 years, and now that we do, it's like, that's enough! Talk about them Gamecocks!
Well, hey, all right. How about another one, Shane, we got to talk about?
Yeah.
Huge game here. For A&M, another one of Shane's teams that he's against, like Vanderbilt. Shout out A&M, number 16, at number 8, Notre Dame. Shane, I even got the touchdown Jesus back there for you. Notre Dame favored 6.5 points, over-under's 50.5. But, man, Notre Dame's only played one game, which is
weird.
I don't like that. If I'm a Notre Dame fan, I think that was a mistake to schedule it like that. But I guess they'll be rested, Shane. Well, you know who else is rested? A&M, because they've had two comfortable wins on the season with a red-hot quarterback in Marcel Reed. So this is an opportunity, Shane, for the Aggies to go on the road and claim that this is a new year, that you know, this ain't the same old who lost to Notre Dame in the big spot last year. We're going to see how far Mike Elko has brought his program in 1 year, going to a team that just went to the national championship game.
Yeah.
What's your early thoughts on this one?
Notre Dame sucks. I felt like, I don't know how much of the Miami-Notre Dame game you watched, but you know, this team obviously hasn't won yet. They're 0-1, made a lot of mistakes early. And, you know, in the areas that they made those mistakes, I feel like A&M can flourish. And for me, it's simply just I want to see that defense again. They've been very, very progressive here the first 2 weeks. They look better every single week. I want to see that continue to go. I want to see Marcel Reed stay healthy, stay in that pocket, trust the process, because sometimes I feel like he rushes the process. And whatever you do, just get Concepcion the ball every at least 5 times a drive. You know, you do that, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Well, that's interesting you go there, Shane, because Stephen was telling me on the last episode, Notre Dame's got one of the best cover corners in the country. Mm-hmm. Now, problem for them, they don't got two of them. So A&M's got Mario Craver as well. But
I think he's leading yards, right? Receiving? I don't know. What's up there?
I did the graphic. I couldn't even tell you. But no, I think it's Trey Wallace from Ole Miss leads the SEC, if that's what you're asking. But point being, Shane, if you're Notre Dame, how do you think they're going to try to defend A&M? Because A&M's been a little all over the place where first game, Marcel Reed show, get the receivers involved. Game two, a little bit more balance, but lean the run. But that's perfect. I think that's where A&M wants to live, where you don't know how they're going to attack you. But I think it's a safe assumption they're probably going to force Marcel to beat him with his arm.
Yeah. Well, that would be the smart move, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to be, I don't know, try to throw something at him that he's not seen, you know, and rattle him a little bit. I feel like that would be the move. But, you know, this is a big test. You're on the road. I mean, I could name on one hand how many elite games ranked opponents that A&M has won on the roads, you know, since they've been in the Southeastern Conference, it feels like. So I feel like that's the big one, is kind of taking that crowd out of it. How do you do that? You, like you said, establish that running game. You suck the wind right out of that place. Let Marcel Reed cook. And, you know, I feel like the opportunity is there. I do feel like that Texas A&M has a more talented team than Notre Dame. But, you know, you got to be careful, because that will be that's an elite environment. And we've seen a lot of SEC teams go up there that should win, you know, but then they end up fighting for their lives, you know?
Yeah. I didn't even think of it like this, but AO Army says, well, I don't like that Notre Dame's got 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
Is that a factor at all, you think?
I think you can overthink about stuff, you know,
I think it would have been much better for them to go beat the hell out of some NIU, even though they couldn't beat NIU last year. But a team of that caliber, if that makes sense, don't you think?
Yeah, and I feel like, honestly, the game that we did get to see, even though they lost it, it's like, that's great film for A&M. And I don't know if you could say that about a Utah State or a UTSA. I don't feel like we're playing tier one offense and defense during those. I feel like we're trying to establish depth charts here. And, so there may be a little bit, even though we've got more game footage under our belt, I feel like it could be better for A&M here.
And I know you already said you think Notre Dame sucks, which they might. But again, this is a top 10 team.
Yep.
Steven's got respect for him. Does it change anything for A&M if they're capable of going on the road, beating at least on paper, a top 10 team? Does that change anything in your mind? Not that you're guaranteeing they'll make the playoff or anything, but will you start buying a little bit of A&M stock here?
Yeah, because it's an elite game. It's on the road. You know, that it's the whole package. I feel like if that happens, then we definitely don't have an 8-4 team here. You know, we have a 9-3, potentially 10-2, maybe 11-1. I mean, the schedule really opens up, because when people were talking about what A&M schedule is going to be, or their record's going to be, they're penciling Notre Dame as a loss. You know, they're penciling LSU as a loss, Texas as a loss, at the time, probably Florida as a loss. But I feel like if you beat Notre Dame, then all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute, you know, this is a better team than we thought. Year two Elko, we weren't expecting this, and nobody wants to play these guys. So yeah, it's a big one, but it's big for the fans too, because they want to be back. They want to be talked about at the postseason. So you do that by beating postseason teams, and that's what Notre Dame is.
Mm-hmm. And another team that may be a postseason team, Shane.
Damn, what an awesome name.
Mizzou, Shane, is that you? Welcome to the family.
I see a lot of Shanes in the comment section. I like it. You know?
A lot of handsome cousins out there.
I've never met an ugly one.
All right, how about not a lot of other great games? I mean, every time we say not great games, they turn out to be great. But how about this Wisconsin at Alabama? Shane, what will you be looking for from the Tide, nationally televised? I don't think Wisconsin's that good, but again, I think week in and week out, I think it's fair at this point in time to say, well, I don't know what in the hell we're getting from Kalen DeBoer, because 1 week we look awful, the next week we look great.
Yeah.
And it was, the whole season was like that last year.
Well, you asked me an interesting question a couple of weeks ago after that Florida State loss. Like, how many games will it take for people to forgive Alabama or get back on the Alabama bandwagon? And it's not two, Mike. So I'm not saying that beating Wisconsin is going to put you back on that map, but it could change the way we look and view the season moving forward. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because right now, nobody, absolutely nobody outside. Tuscaloosa's putting everything out. Man, look, it's great. SEC Network coming out. Oh, man, they were flawless. Yeah, they're kissing their ass. They're back, baby. We're selling shirts again, you know? But I got to see more from Alabama. I got to see them tested again. I got to see them play a team that can beat them. And I'm not saying Wisconsin could do that, but they can also show that teams on their schedule can, if that makes sense, Mike. So if they rattle them, or if they make Alabama make some of those dumb mistakes they made week one, then I don't feel like we are even close to letting DeBoer off the hook yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of DeBoer, I don't know if you've caught wind of this, Shane, but there's, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but what they did was they played the backup quarterback, Austin Mack. They played him in the second quarter. They essentially took Ty out after he completed his first 17 consecutive passes. And people were like, well, what the hell? What are we doing here? But I guess apparently they said it's like still a competition or something weird. Yeah. So thoughts on that? Just the fact that they're kind of like juggling the quarterbacks, even though the one you picked is – he looked like $1 million in a game, but I guess they promised the other kid. I don't know. It seems like a didn't hurt him at all. I mean, heck, they look like $1 million, and all the quarterbacks scored multiple touchdowns. So maybe it's a big deal about nothing. But thoughts on, you know, naming a quarterback and then saying, well, hell, it's still a competition.
Yeah, I don't like that for the psyche part of it, because these kids, I mean, especially quarterbacks and kickers, you know, it's like between the ears sometimes, you know?
Right.
And I feel like if you are doing something like this, you're just creating problems. You're creating that looking over the shoulder and, okay, maybe I shouldn't take a chance here, or maybe I should tuck it and run here. And when I had a guy open, you know, I feel like you start second guessing some of those decisions. We all see it. And that's why a lot of these coaches that talk about, you know, draft day, you know, you get this kid first round of the draft, the last thing you want to do is just throw him out there day one, because you can sometimes mess the kid up forever. So I feel like that's kind of what we're doing when we're having quarterback competition, when a guy just went 17 for 17, even though I just told you it was, you know, loser competition, but whatever, you know, I that doesn't make sense to me. And unless you made promises, and that's one thing we're going to have to keep an eye on, you know, these NIL promises that you make, if you're not filling it up, then they all talk, man. They're going to let their buddies know, hey, this guy's full of shit. You know, he said he's going to give me a shot. And that's the last thing you want, is that negative reputation.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of negative reputation, Shane, I can't believe we haven't had you on since old Steve Sharkisian made his viral comments. But Texas playing UTEP, massive, massive favorite, 41.5. points. I mean, they should cream them, but I don't even know where to go with this one, Shane. It just, you know, the comments heard around the world. I think Sarkisian is breaking a little bit here. I don't know. It's like we had Roush on this morning, and he said it's like he wasn't prepared for these questions, which you'd think he would be, being an accomplished coach here. But do you think Arch is hurt? Why do you think Sark's being weird? I don't know where would you go with that?
Yeah, the first thing I thought of was, did Art shit himself? I mean, that's, I don't know. I never filmed myself in the bathroom. So, I mean, it's a weird comment, but we've all said dumb shit, and I am the leader of that pack, Mike. I mean, I have said stuff, and then we get off the show, and I'll be like, what the hell was I thinking? You know, I can't believe I said that. That's what I was afraid of when we go live, you know? And that's the thing about these coaches. When everything is rainbows and butterflies, you know, I don't feel like they have any problems. But now that their back's against the wall, now they're getting critiqued. Oh my God, you know, they're not ready for that. There's several coaches. Billy Napier was one of them today, man. Those, like I said, that media was attacking his ass. And if you're not used to that, you know, you're going to say dumb stuff. So I'm not going to fault the boy, but God, you know he would love to reel that one back in.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, to this day, that's
the game day signs are going to be awesome this Saturday.
All right, how about hey, Red Hot Oklahoma, too, a massive favorite. This is what was when they announced the schedule, one of the weirdest ones in the entire conference, Shane. Oklahoma at Temple.
Yeah.
Again, 23.5-point favorite. I'm not saying Oklahoma's in trouble, but what did I lead with, Shane? I think this is going to be I truly believe this, and we'll see it. If I'm right or not, this is going to be a season, at least after 2 weeks, where you look like $1 million and then it's like a regression.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a trap game. You know, there's a huge SEC game, your first conference one coming up the week after.
Yeah.
I don't truly think Oklahoma's in danger here, but I don't think we're going to get the same Oklahoma. What's your thoughts going on the road to Temple?
Obviously, I think it's a stupid place to play a football game, but I think it's actually perfect for Oklahoma here. I'm not worried about a letdown at all, because there's something about road games, you know, taking your team on the road. I mean, honestly, you poll the SEC teams and you say, hey, which team would you like to play on the road? Temple would be at the top of my list, man, because not only you're going somewhere, but it's to an inferior opponent that you should destroy. And yeah, I don't think Oklahoma misses a beat here. This may turn out to be a good thing, I think, before conference play.
Mm-hmm.
Just build some more of that team chemistry.
I'd really like to see them get the running game going.
Yeah.
Which they seem to kind of solve in the second half against Michigan. Clearly an inferior opponent here, so they should really have a field day. They put out essentially almost an entirely new offensive line against Michigan. So
yeah.
Getting that continuity, that'll be huge going up against Auburn, who's got, at least on paper, one of the best defenses in the conference this year. So they need to get that resolved. I'd also like to see a turnover-free game from John Mateer,
yep.
Who he looked like $1 million, but he also had several passes that could have been intercepted against Michigan that could have really killed him. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was some mistake, but this is a good cleanup, a good practice. But again, one of those games that you kind of want some of these materials and guys to get out and start working on some more of that depth. And because it's a long season, man, we're three in, I know, one third, but man, look at all the injuries that are popping up already. You know, you need to have a treat this almost like a bye week, but a get right practice scrimmage, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of Auburn, Shane, big yeah. favorites at home over South Alabama, yeah. Shane. But Hugh Freeze and company. Don't be sleeping. We got Auburn right now. They're favored by 24.5. Anything you'll be looking for from them Auburn Tigers as they look to try to go 3-0?
Not really. I mean, I guess chemistry, wider. I'd love to see, golly, Mike, I guess I'd love to see some 100-yard receivers in this game, you know, because we're going to need them. And I'm not saying we're going to have to be so pass happy when we get into conference play, but we've got to work on our balance. I want to keep my quarterback. I'd love to see him leave this game with like no grass stains on his jersey top situation. And the defense, man, just keep going. More importantly, man, I feel like that's been kind of the unsung storyline out of Auburn, is just how tenacious this defense has been. I would love to see that continue, get tons of sacks, tons of pressure, just be living in the backfield. But, yeah, just keep every week, Mike, just do look better. And I feel like there was a little bit of a letdown at Ball State early in that game, but they at by the end of the game, I never had any doubt in my mind who the better football team was here.
Is there a chance, Shane, that Auburn is the best team in the Southeastern Conference that no one's talking about?
Yeah, man, that's a good one. Vanderbilt's up there. Of course, they're starting to catch a little fire with South Carolina game. But, yeah, I feel like Auburn, I mean, we watched the Baylor game. That's the only the kicker, because everybody watched that. Well, not everybody, but most of us watched that Baylor game, but it feels like it's so long ago, right? So, yeah, maybe it is one of the slept-on teams right now.
Ooh, who else being slept on, Shane?
Mizzou, come on, with Louisiana Lafayette coming to town and red-hot Bo Prabula. But, yeah, this is another potential letdown. Again, are they going to lose? No, but huge game. They just had SEC up there, and it was just – you know, it's good. They're all over the TV now. Dorkiest coach in SEC and embracing it. You know what I mean? So keeping that momentum, that's kind of what I'll be looking for from Missouri and see if they can keep a consistency going here, which I believe they will. But I don't. Again, I just don't think it's going to be as easy as people think. But week in, week out, being on your A game, it's just human nature. You know what?
Yeah. This should be a trench game where offensive line's pushing around their defense and vice versa. I'd like to see Hardy and Roberts go for 100 yards in the first half and then, all right, let's bench him because we don't need him anymore. So, yeah, no news coming from this game is a good thing, in my opinion.
Maybe we want a half of the freshman Matt Zoller's at quarterback. You know, let's see what we got in the kid. You know what?
That's right. Yeah, have our one-legged kicker come out again. You know.
And then how about Kentucky? Shea trying to get off the schneid here with Eastern Michigan. I think really the biggest thing will be, you know, how do they look at quarterback? Calzada banged up. Mm-hmm. Looking very rough. They got Cutter Bowley still there. How much will we see of him? But really, this should be a – I know I just said lead with the quarterback, but this should be another game where we lean on that ground game. I think they got away from it at Ole Miss. This is an opportunity to really, really pile up those rushing yards. They've got two of the top 10 rushers in the SEC. Mm-hmm. No question they should have that again after week three.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to create quarterback competition either. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a little bit of that in this football game. I'm not saying Calzada's not the guy, but you know.
I think you are.
Yeah, I think. I mean, this is.
Remember 3 weeks ago? So it was one of the Kentucky fans. Like, what if Zach Calzada's a superstar? And I was like, no, let's not. No, that's not going to be the path. You know what?
No. Get some more confidence. You're not going to get the fan base back with Eastern Michigan, but man, at least get some explosive plays, right? You know, and I felt like that that offense coordinator, I can't remember his name. He came out after the game, and it was embarrassing. I lost all confidence with their offense after that little presser he gave. So for me, I just want to see some explosive plays. Defense, keep doing what they're doing. They didn't lose last week because of their defense. But, you know, we got to find some weapons there because, golly, or at least have some better play calling.
Right. And I forgot to ask Roush this. He was very, you know, he enjoyed talking, but it was like he didn't want to talk Kentucky, and I don't blame him. But if you had to guess, and I hope I'm wrong, but if you had to guess a percentage, 0 to 100, how big the crowd is at Kentucky for Eastern Michigan, where would you ballpark at?
What they're going to announce or what's actually going to be there?
Actual.
I would say that place will be 60% full.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But I think it could have been a lot better had, you know, obviously had they beaten Ole Miss.
And what's crazy, and if you're sitting there on a seat or a ticket, don't try to sell it. Give that shit away. Give it to us. There are tons of families out there that would absolutely love that experience and take their kiddos. So they could easily put 80% in there of kids that want to actually see a football game.
Yeah, let them kids come in here.
Yeah,
you know?
This is a good kid game, you know?
And then last one, hey, Schmidt's going to be pissed we waited this long, Shane, but it's Mississippi State and it's Alcorn. Keep that momentum going. You just whooped Arizona, number 12. Up and down the damn field. Blake Shapen, best quarterback in the universe. No one's talking about Shade. There's just not much to talk about here, but you just want to, again, don't come in sleepwalking. You gained all this goodwill. You can lose it instantly if you drop it to Alcorn. And again, that is not going to happen. But hell, like a month ago, we said, oh, we were sitting here saying it could. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I need more cowbell, baby. I feel like this one should be at, I'd love to see it at 100%, you know? I mean, I feel like that's where we're turning over the leaf. Or is that what they say? Turn the page or whatever? Yeah. I don't know.
Turn over a new leaf.
Yeah, turn over a new leaf, as they say. And you do that by creating an environment that you want, all right? It's like that old saying, dress for the job you want. Not, you know, y'all want to be in the top 25? Well, show up like you're in the top 25. So I feel like this should be a call out to the fans to get there, be loud, get those cowbells going just as loud, and help Arizona State in their lawsuit, you know, so they can. I don't know if you saw that, but they're saying maybe we should sue them for this noise pollution they created.
Well, I was going to say, based on the way you're dressed, Shade, I think you're perfect for this show and have no aspirations to get any behind.
I've made it. Mom, I've made it. It's all downhill from here.
But, hey, all jokes aside, so Mississippi State does have two quality backups, a true freshman and a redshirt. You know, so this is another opportunity if you're a Hail State fan to see what you got in those guys. That'll kind of be the biggest thing. And what do we see from Kiffin offenses, Heupel offenses, Lebby's similar vein, obviously?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter the opponent. They will go up and down the field on you. This should be a fun game for the fans to just see a ton of points scored. You know what?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, brother. I'm looking forward to it. I feel like this, and I'm not just saying because this week's upon us, but I do feel like this is the best week of college football so far.
Ashley Schaefer says, Shane, future SEC commissioner.
I got it. Yeah. We'll let Pate have the big one, and I'll just take this conference.
All right, buddy, anything else before we hop off the line?
No, thank you for tagging Cracker Barrel. I really am thinking, Mike, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about just driving over there. It's not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
And finding out, because somebody in that office clicked the damn button, you know? So, you know what, Mike? I'm going to give them a week. I'm going to give them a week from today to reach out, unblock me, or I'm going to go over there and find out who did it. That's what's going to happen.
Well, maybe we can get them to email us for tomorrow's mailbag show. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Come on, cuz.
Hey, today's shout-outs. Appreciate you, JP.
Yes.
Marshall Charles, Josh Weaver, Stephen G, Stephen Up, Tony Pierce, Mr. Sip, David Short, Austin Wayne, B, Creepy Cousin JR, and Gamecock Benny. Thank you all for being legends, and thank you, JP.
Hell yeah.
Getting this together. You know what?
Thank you, guys. Really, I do appreciate it, and look forward to mailbag tomorrow, so get those questions in, and if you're going to be up in the morning, 7:30, and you're looking for a little entertainment, I will provide it at 7:30 a.m., get you 30 minutes closer to kickoff. How's that sound, Mike?
It sounds fantastic, brother. I'll see you tomorrow. Mailbag again, 7 o'clock Eastern, 7 Eastern, 6 Central. And don't forget, Stephen Lassen, he'll be on 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 Central, to do his Week 3 SEC predictions. Can't wait. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.